All right, I'm going to be talking like this. Is that a good? All right. I have a question before we get started. I'm going to ask before we get started. How many people have seen the new agile planning tools that are included in Visual Studio Team Foundation 2012? How many have seen them already? Okay, let me do the opposite. How many have not seen them ever? Okay. So this is the problem when they schedule a deep dive before they schedule the intro session. So the intro session is actually 24 hours from now at 5. So what I'm going to do in order to help mitigate some of this is if you don't mind, I'm just going to start right now and I'm going to demo the tools briefly to hopefully bring everyone up to speed before we dive deep into what you can do with them, okay? Does that sound good for everybody? Yeah? Okay. Can everyone see the screen okay? Yes? Anybody cannot see it back there? All right. Okay. Refresh that. So, what we've done with 2012 is obviously a lot of people, I'm guessing, how many people use agile practices in your company, right? I'm guessing a lot because why else would you be here? So, we've developed three tools. Agile practices are you have this prioritized backlog where you order things, right? You have it always ordered. The most important stuff is at the top. And then you grab the stuff at the top and you put it into a sprint and you plan what the sprint is. Let's say it's a 2-week sprint. And your team figures out what they're going to do for that next 2 weeks. They plan it. They commit to it. They figure they're going to do it. And then there's this process where every day they have a stand-up or a daily scrum, whatever you want to call it, and they say, hey, what have you done yesterday? What are you going to do? What's blocking you? What can we do to make sure we stay on track, right? Okay, so we've developed three tools. One is helps you manage your backlog. The other one helps a team plan a sprint. And the third one is for the daily stand-up. You got it? There's three tools. So I'm going to zip through all three of these. The first one is this is the product backlog. So how many people managed the product backlog in 2010 using 2010 stuff? Okay. So you probably found it's not a very nice experience. You're editing, if you want to prioritize something, you have to open up an item, edit it. Or if you're using Excel, you need to do the numbers, fill down whatever it is that you do and publish and all that kind of stuff. So what we've done here is that you see here we have this product backlog experience that's pretty clean, pretty simple, and if you want to reorder things, you can just drag them up and down and they automatically get reordered. So something, a big difference beyond what you've had in the past. The other thing is if I want to add a new item, like, here, let's add a new item, it's as simple as that. You just type it, press enter, and it's on the backlog, and then you can take that item and you can drag it wherever you want. So that's the whirlwind tour of what the product, there's really not much more, right? You don't want much more, you just want it to be simple to do these things. This is how you can manage the product backlog. I'm gonna go deeper into it, but this is the backlog experience right here. The other thing I'm going to add is we have this cool feature called forecast lines. So if you do this, and you can say, hey, if my velocity is 20, these are where the items will get delivered in different sprints. So based on a velocity of 20, these first two items will be completed by sprint 4, these next items will get completed by sprint 5, and so forth all the way down. And it's dynamic, so you can drag this item down and you can see how the lines change. So that's a feature that we've added, that's a pretty nice feature. And then we also have this velocity that shows you the history. So you have the history, the current, and then you can take what you've learned from history and forecast the future. All right, that's all I'm gonna do right now. Sprint planning. So sprint planning is, the whole idea of sprint planning is to give the team the information they need in order to commit to what's going to be in a sprint. Now, I don't know how many of you have read the latest version of the Scrum Guide. Okay, not a lot, that's fine. The one person who raised his hand, you may or may not know that they've actually removed the word commit from the Scrum Guide. They now use the word planned. Regardless, the whole point is the team is creating a plan of what they're going to complete in the time box period. Our goal is to give them the tools that they need to make a decision, whether they can get something in or whether it's too much. So here you can see that I have several stories that I've put in here. Let me just show you what it's like to throw something into a sprint. I'm going to grab this one, drag it onto sprint 3, and I've just set the iteration path. It's nice and simple. I go here and I can say, hey, here's the new item I just added down here. I can add a new task, new dev task, do something like this. And it's automatically added right here, and you can see that my capacity is updating right here. So you see that I'm giving the team the information they need in order to decide whether they can get these items done in a sprint. So for you folks who are just walking in, I just wanted to let you know what I'm doing is a bit of a primer to all the Agile tools before I do the deep dive. So I haven't actually started the presentation yet. You haven't missed anything. But a number of people have never seen the tools, so I wanted to quickly go through them if I could. So, so you see right here, we also have the concept of teams where you can have here, these are the people who are on the team. And you can say, you know what, these people work 5 hours per day on the team. And I can say, hey, I want to make Andrew work 10 hours a day. And you can see that his capacity goes up. I can say, I don't want to work but 1 hour a day, and my capacity goes down. And so I can do all that. I can set the capacity for the team, and then I start seeing that kind of a thing. So let's leave that. And then I'm going to do a little bit of a magic. If you've worked with it before in 2010, you know that you've probably got used to editing your backlog with Excel. That all still works, because it's all still work items underneath the scenes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a little bit. We found when we talk to customers that there are three ways that they commit to a sprint. Three different types of teams. Three different types of teams out there and their rules to committing to the sprint. The first team that I'm going to talk about is all they need is this. They just need to know, do they have enough capacity overall for the whole team? Those are teams where people are fairly interchangeable. They're all engineers. They kind of take each other's tasks. All they need to know is, are they green here and they're good? There's another type of team where they say, you know what, our testers can work on each other's stuff, our developers can work on each other's stuff, but we don't tend to have them working on devs don't work on tests the other way around. Like, we just don't work that way. That's fine. How many people would say that your team works that way? Okay. So now I'm going to show you how you'd use our tool to decide whether your team can make a commitment. So, but I'm going to, rather than entering a whole bunch, I'm going to use Excel to help me. So here, I'm going to go here, I'm going to refresh this. This is the backlog that I have from the web that you just saw. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to grab all these items here, copy, and paste, publish. Now what I've done is I've not assigned them. I've just said these tasks are development tasks or testing tasks. That's all I've done. Okay. I'm going to go back to the web, hit refresh, and now you'll see that I'm pretty good on development and I'm pretty good on testing. Now, how did I get capacity for testing? Because over on my capacity tab, I said that Andrew's a tester, Greg's a developer, Lema is a tester, and so forth. So I'm able to. That's how it determines how much capacity I have, and then the task will eat into that capacity. So this is how we work, in fact. We don't have interchangeable devs and tests, but we just say, hey, are devs good? Tests good? Good. We can commit to this. We don't have to do anything else. But let's do this. Let's say that everyone on the team is going to tech head. So we're going to say they're all taking this time off. So now you see how that updated our capacity? So now testing is, even though dev is pretty good, testing is really tight. But you know, a team can say, hey, whether or not they're going to commit to that. Then there's the third type of team, and those teams assign everything up front. So that's just how they work. If it's how they work, that's just fine. And so what we do is I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a little bit of magic. I'm going to do a copy and a paste and automatically assign them to everybody and publish. Go back to here. Hit F5 if I can find the key. And now you can see how we're doing per person. So we can see, hey, you know, these people are red, these people are green. Those type of people would want to make sure everyone is green before they commit. So what I'm trying to say here in all this is that regardless of what type of team you are, what we're trying to do is provide you the tools to know whether to commit to that sprint. Any questions about what I've talked about so far? Understandable? Does it make sense? Yeah? Okay. Great. And then the last thing is the task board. And then I'm going to be done with the primer part. So this is where you stand up every day and you say, what have I done? So I will tell you, we use this tool every single day. We have a little cart, one of those little utility carts, and we have a laptop and an old throwaway projector on it with a big long extension cord. And we roll it out into the hallway every day and we project against the wall. And all of us rotate through that place and we have our stand-ups. And how it will work like this is I'll come up to the task board and I will say, okay, this is me. I'm going to look at my tasks. So you'll see I selected myself. It automatically filtered the task board down to the stuff that's just assigned to me. And I can say, look, I've worked on this item, and I've burned down, down to 11 hours. And you know what? I already got this item done. And you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to take this item from Andrew. And you notice how it automatically assigned it to me? Because it knows it's me at the board. And then Lay comes up, and she starts talking about the stuff she's already completed and the stuff that's in progress. And she burns down a little bit of hours and so forth. And we just flip through this thing. And it's fast. Our meetings are always done in 15 minutes, really. Honestly, they are. And the nice thing is, this is all TFS under the scenes. If I click on this, it's just a TFS work item underneath the scenes. It's all being updated. All the history is there. You can see everything of what's going on. You can see how the task has changed states and who's done it and everything like that. Completely updated all the time. All right. Now I have done the primer. I truly want to know, is there any questions about what I have talked about so far from anyone who's not seen it? Yes, please.
When you change the remaining item for that person that was in progress, mm-hmm. Does it still know how many it completed?
How many completed? So the question is, do we track completed hours? Right? Is like okay. So the answer to that is there's nothing we've done to prevent you from doing it if you want to. So I'm on the Scrum template. The Scrum template doesn't have completed hours in it because Scrum methodology is about you only care about remaining, right? But if I went to the Agile template, it has completed hours and it's still there, just like it was before. However, our tool right here only edits remaining hours. So we don't have this nice experience from the surface yet on editing completed hours. It's on our backlog to do, but we don't have it yet. Did I answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Yes?
If you have multiple teams working on the same sprint, do you separate sprints, or is there a way to...
So I'm going to answer that question in the deep dive. Okay. If I don't, then please ask me at the end, okay? Anything else? Yes?
Are you planning to show Scrumban at all?
Scrumban. So, okay. My understanding of Scrumban and how it's been talked to me is this is it. That the team, this is really a Kanban-style board. It's a visual representation of the work, and the team gets together, and they look at this, and they say, we're moving things across. Now, it doesn't have the things of Kanban, like WIP limits. It doesn't span beyond the sprint, like what Kanban is supposed to do, but this would be our answer to Scrumban.
Well, the application is that my team works on sprint items, new functionality, but they're also responsible for production maintenance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let me get through the deep dive and then let's come back to that because I'm going to be talking a lot about how you can customize these things to do what you want. So, okay, one more.
Also, are you going to cover the case of where a team works on multiple concurrent releases simultaneously?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Anything else? Yes.
Before I get this in now, I found out that I have to run a C# program in order to convert my slightly customized templates in 2012. Is that really true? That's what I'm going to say.
A C# program?
Yeah.
Who in the heck told you that?
Oh, if I wanted more than one, let's say I have quite a few projects that I want to convert.
Okay, so I'm not sure. So what the gentleman said is that he had heard you have to write a C# program to convert your templates from your current templates to the new ones.
Well, no, convert your projects.
Your projects to?
Previously customized.
Okay, this is a good question to address. So there's what these tools will all work on existing process templates. So your 2010 process templates, if you have them today, We have written a tool called feature enablement. You run it on your existing process, it lights up these features, and it works on that process. So these tools are backwards compatible to what you have in flight today. You can turn these things on now. Now there's the other question, how can I take my 2010 process and upgrade the process to look like 2012? Right? How can I make my user stories look like them? How can I make reports look like them? That is a different thing. That we don't have an answer for. If that's what someone told you to run C Sharp for, I don't know. But okay. All right. So I'm sure you didn't. So okay. So I'm going to go with that, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to start on the presentation now, if that's okay. So yes. I'll get into that in the deep dive. I promise you. Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm going to talk about what are Agile tools. I've already done that. I did the primer. Then we're done through that. I'm going to talk about how to make them work with your process templates. So I'm guessing a lot of you have customized processes. Maybe that's why you're here or something like that. I'll show you how you can make it work with your stuff. And then how to work with your processes, which I would consider like the concurrent release problem. That would be like one of those things. So I'm going to get through that. So I've already talked about this. I have a few slides, and then the rest is demo. Okay. So this is how I think TFS has been sold in the past. TFS has been sold as the Swiss Army knife of any kind of process tool. You can do whatever you want. Completely, totally flexible. It's like you can do whatever, like that, right? But what people really want is they just want a can opener to open their bottle of beer, right? They want a very specific tool. Right? Huh? They want the beer. They really want the beer. Our job is to give them the tools so they can get their beer, right? But we gave them a Swiss Army knife, and they have to go through the fish scaler and the toenail clipper and all the other things to get to what they really want, right? So now let's look at, we would often say, your process, our process, we can do any process. You can customize the heck out of it, and it all works. And that is really the power of TFS. It's really a power we have over a lot of our competitors. We are very, very customizable. The problem is that people wanted a nice, simple experience to do the very common things they want to do. Manage their backlog. Help me plan my sprint. Help us do our daily stand-up. Simple things like that. So what we have is you have this issue where you have very fit-for-purpose experiences built on top of this general customizable object platform, like you can build any object you want in it. And what do we do? So our answer to that in 2012, so you have questions like this, like, and this may surprise you, if we were to write a tool, we'd have to know, what are the work items you even have in your backlog? Like, what do you call them? Do you call them backlog items? Do you call them user stories? Do you call them change requests? Do you call them service tickets? What do you call them, right? What is the state that means in progress? If we want to know what's in progress, we'd have to know what state you have. What's the remaining work field? You could have any field be remaining work. We have no clue. And if we're going to do nice little drop downs on a tile that edit your remaining work, we need to know what your remaining work field is. And then, like, what are the columns? Like what you asked. What columns are you on your task board so we can paint that out? So what we did is we came up with this thing called process settings, which is really an abstraction layer on top of work item tracking to give us this information we need, kind of the Rosetta Stone, if you will, of the work item tracking database that you have. So the way it works is you tell us what different things are in your process, and our tools can light up and give you this very simple experience regardless of what you have. Here's my last slide. I'll just flip through this because then I want to get to the demo. So the things that we have done is we have this thing called common project settings. This is where we put the settings that are common to many features. So the Agile tools will use them. The My Work pane in Visual Studio uses them. The feedback request tool uses them. If you think about it, there's a lot of things that need to know. What's your bug? What item represents a bug? And what are the states on that bug? There's a lot of features that could be handy to know that. Or what are your tasks? So many features use these. Then we have the settings for that specific to Agile, so just our stuff. And then there's a few extra things like categories, team settings. We've introduced this concept of teams, which I will demo later on. And then what I'm happy to say is we now have dates on our iterations. If you look right here, not that one, right here, this is an iteration, and we've actually put dates on the iterations now. So we actually know when the iteration starts and ends, so we can determine your capacity. That's new in 2012. So now let's flip to the demo. Oh, I was demoing and you weren't seeing. I'm sorry. Look, were you you were seeing everything right? All the other demos you saw? Yeah, I'm sure someone would have screamed. Okay, see, there's dates on iterations. See that, everybody, right here? Okay, this is an iteration and there's dates on it, start and end date. Okay, so let's get started on the demo. So first thing I want to do is I want to show you the easiest way to learn about process settings is go look at the templates. So download the templates to your hard drive and look at it. So I'm going to go look at scrums. Here in work item tracking, you'll see this new little folder called process, and look at there. There's a common configuration for your common settings and one for agile. So let's open this one up in here. And here is where you're telling us what's in your work item tracking. So if you look at this, let's look here. Right here, you've told us that this field is of type remaining work. So now we know what your remaining work field is. Simple as that. What field do you use to order your backlog on? Like maybe you've created a new field, what of that? If you tell us what field is your backlog order, then we can take care of it. And when you drag and drop, we'll automatically set that field for you. You don't even have to think of it. What field is your story point field or your effort field for your work item types? Our templates have three different fields. CMMI has size, Agile has users, story points, and Scrum has something called effort. You probably have something different. Who knows? I know of a car company, they called it Ferraris. Like that was just their abstract story pointing unit. They just wanted to make it abstract. You define it, we will work on it. If you remember, like when I said, there are three ways to do your planning for your sprint, and one of the ways is by discipline, like testing versus dev. Well, you have to tell us what field you're using to track discipline. You do that, we can light up that functionality. Down here, you'll see us answering the question, what items are on our backlog? The items that are on the backlog are the ones that are in this category. And what are the states? Here are the states right here. And now we know that this state, new and approved, are the proposed state. They are the ones that they haven't been started yet. And this state right here represents in progress, and this state represents completed stuff. You've told us that. Now we can do stuff. So let's look at this, what this means. I go to here, and I click here. This is a nice looking velocity chart. It just popped up. You didn't have to do anything. How did we know what state represented done so we could color them green? We know because you told us. You told us in that process settings, you uploaded it, and now we can do it. Blue means in progress. We know that because you can do that. Things on the backlog are everything that's in the proposed state. You can have 27 proposed states. We don't care. As long as you tell us what they are, we will make sure they show up in this backlog. You go look here in Sprint 3, you'll see that the ones in here are committed. They're committed because the team said, we're going to do them in this sprint. That pulls them off the backlog. We know committed is that state because here, you told us. You told us that, right? That's how that all works. Same thing for tasks. This is where you define how many columns you want on your task board. If your tasks have 7 states, you just tell us about those states, tell it what kind of state they are, and we work. The burn down works, the task board works, the columns just light up, it all just works. So no matter how much you've customized your stuff, we should be able to work with you. So I'm going to stop. Are there any questions about what I've shown you so far? Yes. So the process templates are, this is how you would download them. You would go to here, from Visual Studio, Settings, Process Template Manager. You can grab them and you press Download. And it downloads them into a folder structure for you. Okay? You had a question right behind you, yes?
Yeah, is there still the tool set that allows you to edit that visually?
So, okay. The question is there a tool set that allows me to edit this visually? So the answer is, the toolset that existed in 2010 still exists, and you can edit your work items with that. All we really built into that thing was a little XML editor. Unfortunately, we didn't have a nice visual thing for this yet. We actually, to be clear, we want to put this in the web. We want to say that you're not looking at this in XML. There's a nice looking web page that allows you to define your states and hook them up and all that kind of stuff. And that's, we're going to do that before updating the power tool, actually. So, okay, yes? Three, we call them meta states. There is one more for bugs. Bugs has a resolved meta state, but those are the only four. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
And you can't infer those relationships of that mapping from the existing template?
Nope. We have no idea. I mean, because that's the power of being totally customizable. You can have. What's defined in the custom template is that you go from new to do, to in progress, to done, like that's flow. But we don't know if in progress is really another new state. So, but now that you can tell us, now we know. We now know. Any other questions? Okay. So let's do a little customization. So I'm going to show you what that would look like. I'm going to go to the command line. And I've written some batch files to make it easy so you don't watch me type. How many people have used WidAdmin as a... Okay, so you guys will have seen this. It's the command line tool that allows you to import and export these settings. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a process export for my cool demo right there. And that will download that thing. All right, so this is what's actually in flight right now. Now I'm going to go down here. And let's do something like this. Let's say I don't track in hours. Does anyone not track in hours? What do you track in?
Story points.
Story points? Even your remaining work is story points? Okay, so we'll say story points there. The interesting thing about remaining work, it's a unitless field, really. This is the only thing that places any meaning to it, this little thing. So I can do this. We could save it. And then process import of my cool demo thing, and it will just expand out here. And I can hit refresh. And now you see SP everywhere. You'll see it on the task board, you'll see it here, everything like that. Change it to whatever you want. Yes?
Sorry, you can only use one process template at a time, because before you've shown us there's a common one in there.
That's a great question. The question is, can you only use one process template at a time? So these process settings are specific to a team project. So if you have five team projects, each with their own process, you would be setting up the mappings on each one of the team projects to do whatever you want. So, yes?
You would be setting up these settings on the server, not on each developer's PC, right?
On the server. You set them up once per team project, and you're done. And then everyone benefits. So, anything else? Okay. So let's do this. Let's see. I'm going to do another thing. I'll go back to here, and we're going to do an export of the... This exports just the Agile-specific settings. The Agile-specific settings are, what are the default columns that appear in my backlog? So you can define what they are when I create a new, have a new team. What are the columns that show up? You can add them. What are the columns that show up on your sprint backlog? And what are the items that show up on your add panel? So if you look here, we'll go back to here, to product backlog. And you see this add panel right here? That field right here is defined by that setting I just showed you. These two things right here, you've told us that two items appear in the backlog. It's bug and product backlog, so we make this thing a drop-down. If you only had one item on your backlog, we would just make it a read-only field. But it says the title's the one thing. So let's go ahead and let's add another one. So don't want to do that. Any ideas of what we want to add to that? Anybody got a suggestion? What would you like to add to the add panel?
Story points,
okay. And I think this is the story point field, so I'm just going to steal that. I got a typo?
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. There we go. Is there another one? Someone said activity? Okay, the thing about activity, it's not on the user story. It's only on tasks. Now, if you had it on user story, you could do that.
User type.
User type? Sorry.
Username.
Okay, good. Let's do that. I'm going to do assign to. Is that okay? Okay, does my typos look good? Everyone talked at once. All right. That's a great question. So she says, can we put description on there? The one field type we don't allow is a HTML field. So only single line fields can go on the add panel. So you couldn't put description on there. So does that just make sense?
Okay.
I'll show you that in a second then. So then let's import these. F5, and there you go. You have your items in there. Now these follow all the same rules as the work item form, everything like that. So if there's rules on them, like assigned to has rules as to this, and then maybe you had a rule on your effort field, you could do that. But we can go ahead and say add a new one, say right there, and then they're all set. So you can do that. Yes?
Are description and repro steps HTML by default?
That's right. So description, when you upgrade, we will convert it to an HTML field for you. So that's what we do. I think repro steps is already HTML, was it not? Yeah, okay. Any other questions? Yes?
What about the backlog item hierarchy, like epic feature story?
Yes. So what about epic feature story if I have several items? So how you would handle that is you would define, Let's say if it's epic and user story are the two work item types. You would just define that those are the two work item types that appear in your backlog. You can create hierarchical relationships with them, and it would work.
So.
And priority? Yes, priority as well. The thing you would have to make sure is that all the fields that are on your backlog need all the required fields we need to work. So you would need an order field on all of those work item types so that we know how to order them. We'd need a story point field on all those work item types. They need to be in all of them for it to work. Okay? All right. Yes?
Sorry, one more. Are the process templates for work item templates implicitly stored in source control at all?
No. Yeah, right. So are the process templates stored in source control? The answer is by default, no. But it is a very strong recommendation we give to everybody. They say, just check them in and out of source safe when you're working with them. So, but by default, they're not. Okay. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to show you this. As an example, this is in a different collection, so it's going to take a little while to load that collection into memory. But I made a completely different process template that had nothing in common with any of the other things. I'm going to show you how these tools light up. So this one I call the Dungeons and Dragons one, right? The things on your backlog are dungeons to conquer or dragons to fight, right? Nothing, the names are completely different. When you open up the item right here, you can see that we don't have story points, we have levels, because they have different levels, right? We have a backlog order that's the same. If you go to sprints, the items break down into quests, not tasks, so they're just quests, and they have and they don't have remaining work, they have remaining monsters, right? So you say how many monsters you have to fight. And the activities are not, they're character classes, so stuff like that. So what you can do is you can say on your task board, right here, you can go here and you can go over here, you can burn down your monsters, you can assign it to people, whatever you want to do, that kind of thing. It's all just works. Like, I figure if I can get it to work on something that looks like this, there is not a process template that you have that we can't get it to work. The whole point is you tell us what those fields are and we will just work. You get the same experience. All right? Any questions? Yes?
Images?
That would be kind of cool, right? You actually can. You can, I'll just say this. So right here, you can insert an image now in the process. And again, it gets displayed right in here. So, sure, you could do. I should have done that. Yes?
What if two or three developers work on the same document?
Okay. The question is, what do you do if three developers work on the same task? The answer is, we as always, we still don't support it. Like, you get one assigned to field, and it's not multiple select, and it's the same problem you've always had. We don't have any better answer for that. So, yes? That, yeah, then you're stuck doing those kind of things. You split them into three tasks, it's three subtasks, that kind of thing, or you can just have it assigned to one person, but you know three people are working on it. It's just, you're just doing funny stuff. But it's the same funny stuff as before. Yes? Uh-huh. Right. Okay, so the question is, can we define, like, one team is using hours, one team is using story points, right? So the answer to that question is, this process is specific to a team project. So if all those people are in the same team project, then they have to all subscribe to the same process, which is it's hours or it's story points. If they're in different ones, then you're free to do what you want. So, yes? Forecast does not. Forecast takes into account whatever you enter here. Okay. So you enter what velocity you want to predict with. Hopefully what velocity you're entering matches what you've done in the past. Otherwise you're just kind of playing games, right? I mean, I could do that. I could just enter 40 here and then go to my manager and say it's all good. But yeah, that's all it does. Sorry, say that again? No, it doesn't. It's just it's a value you can play with. So. Yes, these are work items right here. Yeah. So when you create this, are you asking when you create the story and I go into sprint planning and I create the task? Yes. Right. There is a relationship. So the question is, I think the question is, what's the relationship between, if I go here, what's the relationship between these user stories, which are work items? If I click on it, it's just a work item right here, and these tasks that are under here. And it's a parent-child relationship. Right here. You bet. There they are. Same as before. So if you create the tasks under here and go back, you would see them on the task board. So bugs, if you tell us that bugs are on the task board, then we will put them on the task board. But you'd have to set up your process settings that way. Right. So does anyone else would like to have bugs on the backlog, on the task board kind of thing? Yeah? Okay, so let's do that. Let's add that. I'm going to go to my Agile process template and go here. Let's see, Agile. And here we are. And you can see it's only tasks. And why is it only tasks? Because I'm going to do a process export of my Agile demo project. Oops, that was the wrong file. And the reason is because you right here you say what are the items that are in what are the items? They're the items in the task category. So we go here and we're gonna notepad the let's see, we're gonna see Agile demo. This exports my categories. And you can see right here that in my task category, where is it? I have just task. So let's go ahead and just add this. Work item type. My typo's good? All right, let's try it. Okay, now we're going to back to here, hit F5. Now, if I click here, I get a drop-down. Bugs and tasks, right? If I had bugs that were there and were parented to that user story, they would show up here. Now let me show you a caveat. Now watch when I create the bug. Say this is a cool new bug. I hit enter. Look where it appeared. It appeared here. The reason it appeared there is because the first state of a bug is active. It's not new. So when you start putting things on the task board, then you need to be sure that the state models map up, right? And you'll notice here that if I try to drag here, it doesn't work. Why? Because bugs require you to go to resolved first before they go to close. So let's just do that. Let's tell the task board about this additional resolved state. So we'll say it's in, am I in the right one? Yes. Yeah. So this is in progress. And now I have four columns on my backlog. And you'll notice like all the rules apply, so I can drag it to here. I can't drag it here, but I can drag it here. If I try to drag this into an active state, that's valid because a task can do that. A task never has a resolved state, and it can go to closed. So that's how this works. Yes?
So if you require some information...
Could you pause a moment? Were you clapping? Yeah? All right. No, it's okay. Go ahead. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you exactly what happens. I can easily do this in Scrum, because Scrum has a rule that if I drag an item from done to in progress, you have to enter remaining work. So I'll show you about that rule here. I'm going to take it and do it manually here. I'm going to go like this, back to in progress, and see how this becomes required. So let's see what the task board does there. If I do it like this, it does this. It just puts it in an error state, and then you click it open, and you'll see that it's required. I enter 3, hit enter, and that's what done. So that would be your experience. So you drag it to the resolve state. It would be an error. You could click on it, resolve the error, and save it, and it would stay there. Yes?
Any chance you can just make it a question mark for the remaining values so you can skip right in the task board?
So the question is, could we make it a question mark, you know, like be able to fix it right on the task board? We've talked about that. Being able to resolve those kinds of things. I think it'll be very interesting to see how people use this and how important a feature like that is. So, yes?
Are you going to show changing the state transitions? Like, could you change the transitions for bug to go straight?
Yes. So the question is, can you change the transitions for bugs so that maybe that they're in line with tasks or something like that? The answer is yes, you can do that. You could have always done that. That's functionality that's been there since 2005, and I'm not going to show it. There's plenty of documentation about how to make any kind of crazy state model you want. So, yes. Yes?
So, one of the big things with Kanban is, or at least with our group, that we have a kind of like an emergency lane for people to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you do that here?
So the question is, can you have like an emergency lane for things to go through? So, because Kanban does that kind of a thing, right? So the only thing I could say you could do with this, because this thing is strictly based around stories breaking down into tasks, is that you could create, and we do this, we create a story for the emergency stuff, and it's at the top, and we put stuff in it. And that's how we simulate it. It's not the cleanest way, but that's how we simulate that. Kanban is definitely something we're looking at doing for real, and we're going to have a solution that is tailored to these kinds of things in the future. Yes?
Can I link the backlogs to the branch?
Can you link backlogs to the branch?
Yeah. You think I want to work for a backlog to the branch?
I don't think there's any kind of link type that would allow you to link to a branch. So the answer is no. The only thing that I think you could do is create a string field that represented a branch, and you could set that. But other than that, I don't think so. So, Yes. Yeah, so the question is, can I get something other than blue jean blue? So the answer is no. we are looking at a feature. So I don't know if you guys probably know this. We have a hosted offering now, right? It's on the cloud. This whole thing's on the cloud. I'm showing you stuff that, actually, I'm showing you the feature I have. This is a bit later than what's in RC, but earlier than what's in the cloud. Like, the cloud has later stuff than what I'm showing you. So I'm going to tell you that you will see the ability to customize your colors in the cloud. And then our plan is, every so often, we've thrown out the word quarterly, you know, but we don't know. But every so often, we're going to take all the features that we got in the cloud, package them up, and provide them to our on-premise customers. So so that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Okay, yes? So can you see a parent-child relationship of a story to a bug or maybe a story to a task in the backlog? And the answer is no. Our backlog is engineered so it only shows the backlog items and it doesn't show the layer below. In the sprint, you can. In the sprint, because the sprint is about stories and their tasks, you click here and you see here, that bug should show up here somewhere. I don't know where it is. It would show up. It's there, isn't it? Let me look. Where's the bug? Oh, I'm in the wrong thing. So this is the bug. You go here, and you go here, and you'll see your bug. I promise you, right here, like that. So yes. Integration with Project Server. So the answer is it's exactly the same that it was today. All these tools are make it easier to create and manipulate your work items, but all the stuff underneath is still there. Mm-hmm. So the question is, one problem is story points, one's hours. That's the problem of enterprise roll-up, truly. Like, that's a classic problem across everything, and it's the balancing act of forcing everyone to standardize on something so you can roll up and letting people do what makes sense to them. I don't have the magic answer for that myself, but yeah. I'm going to take one more question and then I'm going to move on.
Regarding the cloud thing, so do you mean that the cloud can host TFS server for
us? Yeah.
We don't have to have our own TFS server.
No. You want to see that? So let me. Let's see. Do I have a machine with internet connection? I'm going to show you that later. I'm not going to take time to do that, but yes. Okay, so let me just quickly do this. Here's the commercial. It's on the web. Can I do this? Can I go there? Let me just see. Yeah.
Is it already available?
Okay, I got to stop this. I'm too excited about that. I can't do that. All right, so the answer is yes, it's on there. I'll just do the quick commercial. It's in preview mode. It's open. They actually announced it on Monday. It's open. It used to be invitation codes only. Now it's completely open. You go to tfspreview.com, you sign up, and you get a server, TFS server, in the cloud for free while it's in preview mode. Now, the first thing everyone asks is, well, when are you going to start charging, blah, 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 that kind of stuff, right? So now I'm going to answer those questions. The only thing I can say is, when we have pricing, there will be a free option. So there will be. I'm not going to say what capabilities are with it. There will be one. If you don't like any of our pricing options, you will have the ability to download your stuff and put it on your on-prem server. So it can completely be ported to your on-prem. But go on there. I know an astounding number of people who are using it for production development right now. So, okay? Okay, you can't ask any more questions about the cloud now. So, okay, I can't do that. All right, so let's do what I was going to talk about next. Teams. So I want to talk about teams. So this is the situation. What are we doing for time? Half an hour. So here's the thing. You have a team project, and it represents a piece of software that you're developing. And you don't just have one team working on it. You have 2, 3, 5 teams working on it, right? And they each kind of have their own backlog, and they're contributing to it and stuff like that. And what we've added in Team Foundation Server 2012 is the ability to create these teams. And a team is essentially three things. It is a group of people who own an area path of work items. So any items were assigned to that area path, they own it, working on a set of iterations. So let's do this. Let's go to, here I am. I'm on this team project called Agile Demo, and I'm going to go ahead into my administration module here, and I'm going to create some teams. Let's go ahead and create a new team. Let's create team A. Come on. Oh, good. Okay, and create team B. Okay, so now if you look here, now let's look at what happened in our area paths. What we did by default is we actually create an area path for each team. So now you don't have to. It's the default behavior. If I go back to here and I say create new team, and you notice this little checkbox down here, you can create a team and not do it. So you can go ahead and do that if you want. Like you had existing area paths you don't want to keep creating. So, but now we have this team. This team is automatically associated with that area path. So now if I go back to here, and I'm going to navigate to, let's navigate to team A's right here. And we're going to go to their backlog. So now if I create new backlog items, a new item, another item, and I open those up, you'll see that they've already been assigned to team A. Because I know you've told me, the system being the system here, you've told me, TFS, that team A owns this thing, this area path, so it will automatically set it for you. Let's go to team B. We'll do the same thing there. And here, team B has its own backlog. It's empty. It's just, there's its own little container of work items. And we're going to do like another work item here. So fancy that. Fancy this. I'm just making up stuff. And here we are. And there's team B. Now I can do this. I can pass it between teams. So I can go here and I can say, let's give this one to team A. I don't want to do this. Go right here. And it removes it from your backlog. Why does it remove it? Because I changed the area path to team A. If I go over to team A, I'm going to see that item now in my backlog. So this is a way of saying, hey, this team works in this stuff. This team works in this stuff. They have their own backlog. They can reorder it and do all the kind of stuff that they want to do with it. There's no sprints here, though. I don't see any of these fancy sprints that I can drag items to. The reason is I've never set up the sprints I'm participating in. So I can go to here to home for team A. I can configure schedules and iterations. And say, oh, here's the sprints that already exist. Which ones do I participate in? I participate in this one, and this one. Now if I go to my backlog, I'll see the sprints. These are the ones in the past, and here's the one that I'm currently working on. I go to team B, same kind of thing. I won't see any sprints. Team B, every team, every team gets to decide which sprints they work on. So team B says, I never participated in sprint one. I'm only participating in these two. They do that, and they're just those two. So teams get to decide what they're going to work on. Okay? Any questions about what I've shown you with this? Yes?
Can you also do that with team members?
Yes. Yes. Can you do this with team members? Thank you for that. So here's team B. Let's say team B is going to have, let's just add a few people. Let's add the Brian group. So Brian Harry, Brian Keller, and we say that's what makes up team B right here. So that's team B for Brian. Hey, that made sense. And then I'm going to go to here, and you notice that when I go to the capacity pane, these items right here are defined by that team. I don't get all this other stuff. The drop-down list on the tile, bound to your team. So now that we know what the teams are, we can do some nice things with that. And if we go to team A, we can do the same kind of thing. So we can manage members for team A. We can say this one is, we'll make this Susan and Andrew. Like that. And those are the people in the team. Yes?
If you don't set up an area path,
okay, so the question is, if you don't set up an area path for the team, what are the consequences? So I'm going to take a guess. Why you're asking the question is because you're using area path for, like, components. Is that true? Or I'm just seeing if I'm good at this.
Yeah.
So, okay, fine. thank you for that, because that segues in the next thing. So the deal is that you have to define a field that represents your team. We need to know that. Otherwise, we can't create these backlogs that are divided by team and so forth. What we found in talking to customers is that there's a non-trivial amount of them that use ArearPath for feature breakdown, which is completely orthogonal and different from my team breakdown. Now, how many people in this room do that, where they use their ArearPath for that? Okay? So of you, how many people have created a separate field called team to map track team? Okay. So that's, I'm going to show you how you can do that now, because we have a way where you can do that. So what I'm going to do is I happen to have two work item types in here which are going to do this all for me. So I'm going to copy these work item types from here up to here, and I'm going to import them. So what I've done here is if I go to my backlog and I open it up, I've created this new field called team, which is bound to a global list, which is the list of teams that I have right here, like this. So that's cool and everything like that. But the deal is that TFS still thinks your team field is the ArearPath. So how do we get rid of that? Okay. So we're going to go to here. We're going to... go to those process settings again that we've all started to be familiar with. And at the bottom is right here where we say what our team field is. So this can be set to two different things. It can be set to ArearPath or any custom string field. So you can't set it to any like iteration path or assigned to or something like that, but you have to set it to a custom string field. So my custom string field is myfields.team. And then I'll import that. And I go here, and I hit F5 on my backlog, and I get an error. The reason I get an error is because you haven't told me what values. I don't own ArearPath anymore. I own values of this team field. And I don't know. You've never told me what values you own. So now I have to go edit those. So I go select this. And you'll see that in the admin, we've added this new tab for editing your team field for a particular team. And now I say, I am team A, I own this value. So anything with that value, I automatically own. And then if I go back to here and hit refresh, now I get my backlog. And I pre-populated with a few values setting to team B so that you can see that. But that's what you do. And then I can go to B. And I do the same thing, and you'll see the same exact error message because I have to set it up. You go ahead here, you select B, save it, and you can go back here and hit F5, and you see those items right there. So now ArearPath, you can use it for whatever you want, if you want to. And all of the tools support this. So you go to the task board, and you create a new task. It automatically sets the team field value for you. If you create a new work item, it sets the team field value for you. If you go to Visual Studio, and you say refresh, let's do that. And go here to Agile Demo. And let's go to Home and Work Items. And I create a new work item for my, I got to go to that team. Let me go to Team A. And I'm going to create a new work item. Let's make it a task. It automatically sets the team field value for me. So it's built throughout the whole system. We all know about this. If it was ArearPath, we'd be setting ArearPath. If it's team, we set that. Okay, question.
Are area and iteration still the only fields that can be tree?
Yeah. So the question is, are area and iterations the only fields that can be tree? And the answer is yes, unfortunately. Definitely want to do it, but yes, that's it. That's where it is now. Yes?
Do you have iterations for the same dates?
Okay, so the question is, can you have different iterations for the same dates? So I'm going to answer that question in a moment because I actually have a demo about that. So I want to make sure other people don't have questions about that, if that's okay. Yes?
Can you have a master product backlog before you set the team?
Yes, you can have a master product backlog. So let me do this. How can I do this? I think it would be the best way because I did my demo out of order. I'll go to here. and I'll go to CMMI. So this is a CMMI process template, and if you can see, I have three teams underneath it right here. So let's say I want to have a master backlog. So what we found talking to customers is that some of them have master backlogs, like one person manages the backlog, and then every sprint, the teams get together and they take things off the top of the backlog and they divvy them up. But you have one backlog that sort of rules them all. How many people work this way? Okay, quite a few. So I would tell you how you would go ahead and set that up. If I go to here and go to here, let's see. You could see a bunch of items here under the rentals team. You can see a bunch of items here under the platforms team and some under the inventory team. Now I'm going to go back to this default team right here, and I'm going to show you this. There is one team that's called the default project team. That's the one that gets created when you create the team project. We just create it for you. We name it the same name as the team project. There's one that. You should consider that to be like your root team. It's the parent team to everything else. So now if I go here, and I'm on the root team right here, and I'm going to configure the work areas, what you see here is I've marked that sub-areas are not included. So let's go back to this. And I say sub-areas are included, which means it includes everything else. I hit refresh, I hit close. Now you see it's showing every item of all the sub-teams. Okay? And that's what, and with a master backlog situation, other than a nice roll-up, that's not what you want. What you want to do is you want to say, hey, I'm going to do this, and you configure this like this, and you say, my master team is only going to own items at the root. So that's the equivalent of saying area path equals the root, as opposed to under in a query, right? And then I say close, and now what it is I actually have a backlog like this. So I can create, you know, here an item, another item, a cool item, like that. And then I can use, let's go ahead and it would make sense to add area path to our columns now. Right here. So there's area path. And now I can say, you know what? It's time for sprint planning. I'm going to grab this item and I'm going to hand it to the inventory team. They're going to take care of that. And you can see it gets removed from this backlog item and put on theirs. So that's how you'd set up a master backlog situation. The root team would be owning this root area path, and then other teams would own the stuff underneath. And at your planning, you would push them down. And then once that team has it on their area path, the inventory team has a bunch pushed on their plate, then they'll drag it into the sprint and plan it out and work on it. So, any questions on that? Okay. Does that look like it would meet the scenario that you're looking for? Anybody have concerns? Yeah. So, the question is, can you still see the full backlog? And the answer is no, not to work in this situation. Here's a caveat. If you have two teams that are actually owning the same area path, like through overlap or something like that, we don't do anything to tell you about that. So that's all fine and dandy until you start reordering. And the problem is when you're on this team and you're reordering the items, we may be setting that number to be, I don't know, 110 because it puts it in the right over here, and that moved it up, but maybe in this backlog it moved it down because this has got a different scope. So as long as you can make sure that the reordering is only done in one backlog, then you can have overlapping things and get the roll-up if you want. But you have to be careful of that. That's just where it is right now. Yes?
When you say you can't see the full backlog, I assume you mean just sort of in this visual layout. Like I can still write a test to give that query.
Oh, for sure. Yes, you can still write a query. All the stuff you do today, you can write a query to give you all the kind of roll-ups you want already. You can do that. So, all right, any other questions? Yes?
Right.
Yes?
Does that global list get auto-populated with new teams?
Does the global list get auto-populated with new teams? The answer is no, not right now. You would have to, you create a global list that represent your teams, and then when you create a new team, then you have to go update it in the global list. That's kind of the downside of using the non-area path version of team field, but it's what you'd have to do. Other questions? Yes? Can you use Git for? Sure. Do you want me to elaborate?
Well, I mean, is it
You mean, is there an integration with TFS? No.
There is a Git TFS third-party plugin.
Okay.
We use it.
Okay. I do know that the local workspaces make it easier to work with Git. I've heard that. But that is off topic, so I'm going to... No, I don't have a clue, actually. So, yes?
Just curious about between different TFS projects, is the only solution actually creating a new work item, like a copy of work item?
To moving things between, you want to move a work item between TFS projects?
Yeah, it gets assigned to a team.
Yeah, you have to make a copy. That's your only choice there. Yes. Yes. Okay? Yes?
Is there any effect on backlog of people coming and going on teams?
No. Coming and going on teams?
Yeah.
So, what happens when people come and go? So that's fine. We had that. We're on a 30-second sprint that we're on right now, and the team looks very different than what it was. And what it is just for the given sprint. You just make sure for your current sprint you're planning it's what it is. If you ever decide you want to go back, we keep track of that. If you want to go back to sprint one and see who worked on that, we keep track of that. You could go back and look at the capacity list of sprint one and see. But you manage it. What the current list is always what's current. Okay.
Just to follow up on this question, when we use Active Directory, that's where you pull all of our teams from, that we assign to.
Yes.
And then, so if someone leaves, they get removed from the Active Directory, and then if someone wants to update that work item, they now have to choose a new assignment.
Sure. So let me tell you how you can do that. You can add, and this is what we do. Like, here's ours. The domain Redmond TFS Agile S. It's a group. So you just enter that, and then that list changes. TFS synchronizing takes care of it all. So your team actually only has one member, but it gets expanded to all of these. So you see individual members there, but that's how you would solve that problem. Okay? I think this person, yes. Can you create user stories in your template? Like seed your... Okay, so I want to make sure I understand. When you've created the team project, you want some user stories to exist immediately at the initial creation. Oh, no, you can't do that. Yeah, so, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So the question is like, can on the task board, it'd be really cool if we could take that board and make it colored for blocked. And we know that. We want that because we use these tools every day. And so we want to put that in. That's what I can say. So, okay. Yes.
Is there a release burn down
chart? Good question. Is there a release burn down chart? The answer is nothing more than what we had in the past. So we created good fit-for-purpose experiences around product backlog, sprint planning, and task board. Release management, I call it, is something we haven't tackled yet. But the same reports that have always been there are still there. There is a release burn down in the templates today, based off the cube. So, yes?
We've created some pretty thorny situations where sometimes you have multiple teams and you have multiple concurrent releases, and we handle that inside Excel. And one thing we found is when teams have different staff reps, project managers can easily get confused. They set up all this complexity, and then they go, but try to make it really simple for me to make sure nothing goes bad. So one of the problems we have with that is you got to kind of read their mind a little and see if anybody gets overlapped on. So somebody might be signed up for 300% in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really know unless the tool tells them.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody can be on multiple teams in this tool, well, can you get a per-person view that says you're...
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a great question. Can you get a person-centric view that says, hey, this person's working 8 hours a day on three different projects, for example? No, we don't have anything like that. And I would say, like, it's not that we don't want to do that kind of thing. It's just where we focused our initial effort on this is making the team successful. And there's a lot of very interesting enterprise things up here, release management, that kind of resource allocation. But what we're willing to do, we focused on the team. And we will look at other stuff soon. So, okay, yeah. All right. Okay, so there was one more thing I wanted to show you, and that is iterations per team. So let's go here, and we'll go to this. So this is the problem that we've actually had internally. So if you go here and you look at, this is the inventory team. Oh. Is that my warning? Okay, here's the inventory team. And you can see that they work on iteration 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? But what happened was is that the platform team, they said, you know what? We don't want to work on two-week sprints. We want to work on one-week sprints. Okay? So now what you can do is what we did is you can create sub-sprints out of your iteration, and you can say, I'm going to uncheck this, and I'm working on that one. This one, and this one. Okay, so now we're working on one-week sprints. We close that, you go to their backlog, and they get this nice flat list of iterations that are interesting to them. They can plan on that. It still rolls up under the big iteration one, but it allows you to have teams that have slightly different cadences of sprints, but still be able to roll up. Now, let's say the platform team says, sometimes it's going to be 1 week, sometimes it's going to be 5 weeks, sometimes it's going to be 2 weeks, like that. I think if that's the situation, then what you're doing is you're creating another node in the iteration path called platform team iterations, and you're creating the things for them, and you're not going to have the roll-up then. But the good thing is, once they've set it up, they still get this nice, simple experience over here. It's kind of simplified right here for them. Okay? All right. Any questions about what I've shown so far? Any questions I have not answered? Say that again, please. Okay. So the question is epic features and then what was it? Stories. So is your hierarchy like epics break down into features and features break down into stories? Okay. So the answer would be is that you would create the epic work item type and the feature work item type. You would add those work item types to the category requirements category. Now we know they're on your backlog. And now what will happen is this experience. This experience where you have multiple items showing up here, so you would see epic, feature, and story show up here. And then once you do that, let's pretend some of these are epics and some of these are features. I'm going to close some of this stuff to get the noise out of the way. One thing I didn't show you is that you can have hierarchy on your backlog. So you can drag this item under here, and you create a hierarchy like that. And here you go. And we'll create hierarchy like this.
Is that just making a parent-child?
That's all it's doing. It's just making a parent-child relationship. No. So the question I think was is just, I think you're asking just by creating the parent-child relationship, is it going to change it from like a user story to a feature, or a feature to a user story? The answer is no. No, we're not going to, we don't do anything like that. They would show up on the child items tab, just like you have today. You would see them have today. So, okay? Yes?
Well, probably found with doing parent-child somewhere, we tried to restrict them a lot of times because it didn't seem the best that they were automatically totaled up above and meant they were double counted with their burn down test.
Right.
Does that happen when you just did what you just did?
Yeah, so the question is that do you get, I think you're asking, do you get double counting when you have this thing right here, like when you do this parent-child thing? So for example, if I put story points, like you can see how this story point right here is 13 right here. Okay, so the answer is yes and no. So I'm going to tell you why it's no. The why it's no is we've built knowledge of that we ignore any, in the forecasting lines, we ignore parents. So that part we do. But any other tool that's going to do a roll-up report or something like that, you would have to zero this thing out or something like that. So we didn't solve that problem. That problem will still be there for you, I guess is what I'm saying. So, okay? All right? Any other questions I did not answer? Yes?
You talked about customizing the templates a lot, but are there any kinds of customizations you should be wary of for future upgrades, you know, future versions of TFS?
So are there the question is, are there any customizations you need to be wary of for future versions of TFS?
So you are able to still upgrade and keep your work items.
Yeah. So I will say this. We will always make it so that existing in-flight projects will continue to work on upgrade. So that's a core tenet of ours, that we don't ship something if it's going to break in-flight projects. So that's something we do. The other question is the whole thing about, I want to take my 2010 thing and I want to upgrade it with the new features, right? So I have this customized template and I want to add the new features. How much you've customized it will impact how easy it is to enable some of these new features, right? If you are using 2010 versions of the process templates today, and you've done no or minimal customization, we have created a tool that you just click on it, and it automatically adds all these process settings for you, like all the stuff that I did for you, or showing you. It will inspect your thing, know that it's the 2010, automatically set them all so that your task board and everything just light up. Okay? That would work if you've done a thing like change the name of your work item type from user story to something else, or decided you used a different field for story points. So if you're saying that, we'll give you a pretty quick experience to get these features up and running. And not just Agile, but like feedback and the code review feature and the My Work Pane, we'll configure all that stuff as well. So, yes?
Can we test that upgrade procedure with the preview TFS?
That's a great question. So the question is, can we test this upgrade stuff with preview? And the answer is no. The reason the answer is no is because we, in the preview at this point, we don't allow you to customize anything. So you get the out-of-box templates and you don't get to change them. In exchange for that, however, with every time we update the process template, we'll take any project you have and we will upgrade it to the latest version. So that's the trade-off. Because you don't let us because we don't let you customize, then we know exactly what's there, and we are always making sure your project's the latest, latest, latest all the time. At some point, we will allow customizations. We can figure out how to upgrade people, but allow them to customize. We have to figure that out. So, yes. Yes. There you have to install a compatibility patch. Okay. Yes?
Can we test out the upgrading with the RC?
The feature enablement is on the RC, yes. The RC has that feature in it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes?
So you showed a little bit about how you can have two teams with slightly different release or sprint lengths. What about, as you alluded to before, if you have teams working on multiple different releases?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. So let me go here. So how much time? We have 1 minute left. So tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to end the talk, allow people to leave, but then you guys can stick around and ask as many questions as you want. I'm here the rest. And I'm going to be at the Visual Studio ALM booth. OK? So thank you.